بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Every science has some references. Medicine, and there will be some books that you will refer to. Talk of architecture, and there will be books that you will refer to. But this books of reference are for who? For the beginner or for the professional? For the professional, he's understood the whole thing. He's seen the highs and the lows, the ups and the downs, and he's got an ocean of experience. So he knows what is to apply, what's to be applied, and where, and when, right? And what is not to be applied, though it appears in the book, but it's not to be applied. So this can be understood by a professional person, experience, has understood the whole profession. So the same applies to the self as well. There are books of references. Fiqh, there are books of references. Qiraat, there are books of references. But this books of references are for who? For those who have experience, who have seen it very well, understood it very well, they must look at those books. But people like us, beginners, then what should they do? Then they must just do two things. One thing is, their book is the Shaykh. Provided the Shaykh has also got a considerable amount of experience. He's not a novice, he's not just experimenting. So his reference is the Shaykh, or the books that the Shaykh will refer. So you do this kitab, that's all. Because if he's going to look at the reference books, then he'll really make a mess up of the whole thing. Because he hasn't understood. There may be some standards that were applicable for a certain zamana, for a certain time. But then, when it was suited for that zamana, it was good for that time. But now, if you could generalize, then it may be dangerous. Like for example, to say, eat less, right? So now, the experts in the field, they will say, eating very less was for that period where when people's stamina was strong, their physique was good, their minds mentally they were very, very sound. So it was for them, right? And now, they don't have the physique, they don't have the stamina, they don't have the mental strength, emotionally they have lost it, right? So for them, we'll have to prescribe something different. Right? Now this prescribing is by that person who is an expert. Not everybody. Umar Palanpuri Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, once is advising someone. So you must be a little bit moderate and have a gentle approach. Be moderate, a little bit cheerful. Must have a cheerful approach. So this person went in and gave it as a bayan to someone else. Why to was for yourself? It was not for that person. That person is already cheerful. When it's already cheerful and laughing all that, right? Then the little that he's doing, he'll leave all that as well. All the time he'll be just joking, laughing. There'll be no deen left. But it's for you. Why it's for you? Because you're a very serious person. You take things too seriously, then you'll burn yourself. at some point you won't be able to maintain the standard and you'll burn. So for you it was that you should be a little bit moderate and adopt some cheer and things will work out smoothly for you. For him, he must become a little bit strict. See, so now who can make this out? One that is old, experienced, understood the whole thing, he can give this type of advice, but a novice can't give this type of advice. He'll mess up things. He'll misplace things. You get these great saintly persons, right? So they have standards. Shah Shuja Kirmani Rahmatullahi, in his zamana, he was one of the leading saints, leading wizard. So now his daughter is of age and he wants a good suitor, right? Everybody is concerned. As the children come of age, then they want good homes. Allah grant everybody good homes, right? So the father also needs to understand, he can't be irrational, wild, and have a very, very difficult temperament, because nobody will want to be near him. If he's calm and moderate, then people will want to work with him. Moderate doesn't mean that they make the haram halal. No. Like what's happening nowadays, if you're not mixing freely with women, then you say that he's too rigid. Well, that's wrong, obviously. But he's not listening to music, he's very rigid. But he's doing the right thing. The one that is mixing up with girls, listening to music, then he's already off the path. He's not on the path. He's gone off. So when he's off the path, how can he guide you? He can't guide you. So the people's interpretations and definitions is all off. So when we talk of moderation, he's doing the right thing, but not going to the extreme. Right? There may be some saintly person that went, like Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, for 40 years, he read the Fajr namaz with the wuzu performed for Isha. Right? Yeah, one night we can't do it. From Isha to Fajr, we need to make at least about 3-4 wuzus, right? Yeah, for 40 years you could do it. So they had that level of stamina, that muscle, that charisma, that spirituality they had. So they could do it, right? Now, you will see Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi and you want to imitate him, 2 days time will collapse. So this mashayikh will tell you, alright, for you, this is the charter, this is the plan, right? So you won't do that. What you'll do is, you'll sleep nicely, get up for tahajjud, make wuzu again, eat well, and read at least 4 or 5 rakats of namaz at tahajjud. Right? So now, for this period, this will be the right thing. Because it's going to put you on Abu Hanifa on this plan, you can't manage that. So that means, like, too rigid, right? Too firm. Not what people are defining now to be rigid. Our problem is we're listening to too many bayans, too many books here, there, and then this seems to be appealing, so we're going with that. That seems to be appealing, we're going with that. And then if you can't conform to a standard, you're failing. Why? You're reading too many books, and you feel that you can't keep to that standard, that ultimate standard, therefore you're failing. Who asked you to read so many kitabs? Your sheikh is your kitab. And the book that he recommends, you will study that, that's all. And if there is something in that book that you can't understand, then you don't try to expound, bring it back to the sheikh, how do you understand this? So he's looking for a suitor for his daughter. So now, he's such a person that he's like world famous, whole world knows him. Shuja Kirmani Rahmatullah Ali, he's known, everybody knows him. Very popular, very great, very saintly person. So he came across a person in the masjid, youngster, and he seemed that he could see khushu and humility in his namaz, you know, in his postures, in his namaz, his calm. You could see something in his namaz. See? It's not just the posture, but you can see from his namaz that he's a different person. تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدَيْنِ يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ سِمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِمْ. Right? From the face, etc., you can make out. Okay, this person's namaz is having an effect on him. Right? This person's namaz is doing the postures, but it doesn't have an effect on him. So, you can make out from the namaz and from the personality whether he's affected by the namaz or not affected. Some are just doing things in a customary way, right? A thing that you inherited from grandfather's time, and you're just going through the motions. And some person's namaz is real namaz. So there was one Nabina, Harisa bin Jalabad. So he was quite popular, very popular. Everybody liked him, respected him, and he was like a referral point in Herat. So someone said, if you are so great, so why are you stuck in this village like Jalalabad? Go out, you know, you are in big demand. So no, I don't leave this place. Why? I learned to perform namaz from this man here, Aziz Yahutari. I understood what is namaz. So that namaz, it gives you off. You see that person, see ma'am fi wujuhim min asari sujood. You make out this person is quite different. It's not just looking at a book, but the book has affected him. Or you can say the other way around, he has affected the book. So anyway, when he completed the namaz, Shah Abu Shuja Kirmani asked him, are you married? He said, no, I'm not married. So that's the way to ask. Not to say, I got a daughter to offer, get married to her. Because then, and then he turns around and says, he's married then? What do you say? So you first ask, married, did you propose? Are you interested in anybody? See, now this is how you start off. Are you interested? Have you proposed? Are you engaged? Right. Are you married? That's how you start off the conversation, right? So, now, primary level things have to be taught to adults nowadays. Because very, very seldom people use their brains. You don't understand, right? I'm asking, but he may be interested somewhere. He may have proposed somewhere, he may have confirmed something somewhere, then I don't have the right now to cut him off there. He's already interested, he's proposed, he's deliberating on someone. Now, in that state of mind, then to make a proposal is not right. So he asked all his preliminary questions. But why haven't you proposed or got married? He says, poor person like me, then I even feel embarrassed to go and send a proposal. So anyway, Shah Abu Shuja Kirmani says, you mustn't lose hope. Don't lose hope. The mercy of Allah Ta'ala is too vast. So he says, but see, even if I think of proposing, I propose, you know, I bring an embarrassment to myself. Because people see my status, my status, material, and they will laugh at me. You've got nothing What are you talking about nikah? You got absolutely nothing. I said, well, don't lose hope. Try. Why must you lose hope? So when he finished with all the preliminaries, now he asked him, alright, will you be happy if Abu Shuja Kirmani offers his daughter to you in nikah? So he turned around, so he doesn't recognize Abu Shuja Kirmani or Hittai. He says, don't joke with me now. You know, if even I talk about it, people will beat me up. Such a great person, and you now broken Johnny, and you're sending a proposal to that house, I get beaten up. So I said, see, I've already arranged all that, right? Did all the preliminaries, found out from Abu Shuja, and he's quite comfortable with you as a son-in-law. Now his face is brightened up. But you know, I've got nothing to offer. So we know your material status, whatever it is, but now he's interested in you being the son-in-law. See how the etiquette, protocol, how you go about doing a thing. Not cutting, not biting, not jumping, not disrupting. It's the way, isn't it? You go about doing things, in a tartib. So I'll just stop the story, I'll come back inshallah. So there's another person also, he's interested in getting his daughter married, right? He's also looking for someone. Looks around, sends very, very popular, very wealthy. So, he sends his people to go and find out. They're going to some masjid, various places. They came across one person, one youngster. So now this person seems to be the suitable person. They saw him again in his namaz, how he was. That namaz had really taken an effect on him. So now, this person here, what happened was that he heard that wealthy person discussing with his wife that our daughter is of marriageable age and we need to look for a nice suitor, right? And when we want a nice suitor, then we need a person who's got huzur. Huzur means, in their terminology, he's got the presence of mind in namaz. Namaz is focused. Focus on what? Focused on what he's doing. Focused on the presence of Allah Ta'ala. Focused on the majesty and the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. He's well focused. So when he heard this, say, there's a chance for me. So he went on masjid, isolated himself, doing namaz, zikr, tilawat, etc., etc., etc. Until now, they saw this person to be the most suitable person, and they confronted him. When they confronted him, now he said, no, I'm not interested in marriage. So someone confided, why? But you know, you started off with this intention, you will get this man's daughter in marriage, and now you're disinterested. So you see, I started off on the wrong note, right? But mera Allah Allah karna, Allah hi ka bana diya. Right? To the corner, making zikr, tilawat, Quran Sharif, etc. Then that zikr, etc., spared me for nobody else but Allah Ta'ala, made me Allah Ta'ala's. So now I'm not interested in all these things yet. I'm so consumed now in what I'm doing that I'm not interested in all these things. See, at the beginning, this will happen, sometimes our intentions are being off, right? We'll try and correct the intentions and continue. Now, Don't wait for the ideal intention to come for you to do the work, right? Because it may take you half an hour to make the ideal intention. And in that intention, there will be all contradictions in your mind. But I think like this, and at the start of the work, the ideal intention will come at a time. Start off, correct your intention and start off. It doesn't mean I must take 1-2 hours just to get the intention right. 1-2 seconds, you made the intention, carry on, start off. But the shaitan now starts playing with your mind. Well, your intention was wrong, and you messed it up. So now, it's the beginner. The beginner will start as a beginner, not as the person that is at the end. The person at the end, his standard is different. But you are a beginner. You can't go and compare yourself to that person. Sometimes that happens. And sometimes in tasawwur, what happens is that people bring in unnecessary conditions. Now, someone says, no, I can only read Durood Sharif in the state of wuzu. Now, you get impressed, mashallah. He's got so much of respect for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he only reads Durood Sharif with wuzu. So, the common person gets very carried away. But all of us say, why? Don't make this additional conditions. Because the name of Allah Ta'ala can be taken at all conditions. Bismillah, Qiyamah, wa Qu'udah, wa Ala Junubi, sleeping, getting up, in all conditions. So, when you can take the name of Allah Ta'ala in all conditions, then why are you restricting yourself? You make it look nice, but say that these additional conditions, where did you bring it from? So the hadith says, Lan tuhsu. Lan tuhsu, walakin saddidu waqarib. You won't reach perfection, but Lan tuhsu. You won't get the ultimate. You won't get that. But what you must do? Try to become straight. Try to become straight and come close. But now in one stroke you want to come perfect and you don't see the perfection and you start crying. That's wrong. You just came to the madrasa and you saw Qari Sabri Qiraat. You can't reach up to these levels. No, I can't make it. Qari Sabri also must have taken time to come to that. He burnt himself, right? So now in one stroke you want to reach there. So lan tuhsu. You won't reach perfection in one stroke. Suddhi, try, come close. It doesn't mean now you take the other extreme and say, I can never reach that, so now, let me not pursue that. So it's extremes of people. And I repeatedly say, you're listening to too many bayans, too many people, maybe not a bayan, but too many people you're listening to. This one is saying, that friend is saying, this circle is saying something, eventually you become a circus. So now you're getting confused now. I read in this book here, and this person had to say this, and in the circle this was being discussed. Now, haven't you got a confused mind? You listen to one, just put blinkers on your eyes, and move on. That horse that got blinkers, it moves. And the horse that got no blinkers, in the right, left, all directions. The thing is thinking now, covering a lot of journey, right? But is it covering anything? Right? It's going on journey, it's going on in circles, on this side, on that side. Because it doesn't have blinkers. So the beginner has to have some blinkers, just keep the track. Provided that Sheikh you got, he understands all these things. Right? He's not asking you to have an ill opinion of anybody, but for your own safety, is asking, right? Put on your safety belt and move. Right. Your own. It's your safety belt. You don't put that thing there. You want to start tossing, turning, hurting yourself, banging, smashing. So, it's not going to be a safe and pleasant journey. So, tie yourself and move on. So, you're coming back to this. Shujaq Kirmani Rahmatullah. Some of the salient sabaks, lessons of the tasawwuf trying to say. See the confusion that comes up. So anyway, he asked this person, "Will you be happy if Abu Shuja Kirmani offers to his daughter in nikah?" But now, just to come and interject here, you are not Abu Shuja Kirmani, so you don't apply that standard. He applied a certain standard, right? But he was Abu Shuja Kirmani, a saintly person, that maqam. Right? Have you just heard the story? So now I must also apply the same thing. So is that reasoning of yours right? No. You're not there, so you don't apply yourself. Either. You will consult the elders of your family, etc. Find out, do your homework, whatever procedures you have to follow, you adopt those procedures, and then you make a confirmation. Now, you heard the story, it's stated, you know, you do imitate him, and then you have some problems, say, you know, I followed Abu Shuja Kirmani, and I failed. See that? But you're not Abu Shuja, then why must you do that? A lot of times people say, no, you made istikhara, but it didn't work out. But now, istikhara is not the only thing. Istikhara is an additional support. Primary thing is mashwara, shawirhum fil amr. Istikhara is an additional support. Now, you didn't make proper mashwara with the elders, family, etc., or people that you trust and have confidence. You didn't do all that. Just make istikhara straight away. And it may be that that boy or that girl may be lingering in your mind, you know, when you make that istikhara. Now, at the istikhara, that person is flashing. What's flashing? What was in your mind that's coming in front. Now, you don't realize that it's not the result of an istikhara, it's the result of you having this person in your mind. See the confusion. As I mentioned, the problem of this age is log be pire, but they don't have any person to consult with. No peer they got. It means their own thing, being confusion, fights, confusions, arguments. They don't have someone. Then he says, "Ye to ho nahi sakta. It can't be ke peer ho aur pareshan ho. You have a peer, then how can you be pareshan? You're pareshan because you don't have anybody as a guide. That's why you're pareshan." Approximate words of Hazrat. Anyway, coming back now. So, since I've done everything, he's happy with you as his son-in-law. So you agreed, so now. As long as I'm not going to be a burden, I'm not going to be a problem for them, they must know my status. It mustn't be that they look at me and they betrayed. So they know me properly, and then they make a confirmation. Then anyway, the nikah is done, and in less than 20 minutes, he got his daughter with a parda, all that, leading her to the house of the groom, right? Now that groom's house is also like a broken down, you know. Now you thought, say, John Doe or something like that. That was the time of the house that he's got. So as she stepped in, so she's telling the father, "Where you got me involved, you know? Where did you get me involved? Where did you get me involved?" So the groom is saying, "See, I told you at the beginning, I have nothing to offer. And in spite of all that, well, see, she's proved it." So she's proved, you know. What I'm objecting about is that why do you have some bread here in your house? I can see this. It's a bread lying here. Though it's not fresh, but it's some bread that's lying here. Don't you trust Allah Ta'ala? So he says, "No, I had roza today, so then some bread was left here for my iftar. So she says, me, I consider that to be also against tawakkul. Because the one that you starved for, don't you have the trust that he will feed you? What? The one that you remain hungry for, don't you have the trust that he will feed you? Now, we are talking about story, right? I must go to the weakness of people's minds, and I have to keep telling you all, if I don't apply that standard, you're not there. But now, then you'll ask, why did I explain the story? Right? For two reasons. One is this, these are saints of the time, right? Saints, Zahideen of the time. So, we need to respect them and have a liking for them, right? Instead of us despising them. Huzur Ghanadin, they're living in such poor conditions, right? So, there's someone that is despising them. So, he said, no, you have a love for them, respect for them, and also think that's the better way to live. Right? That you don't have too much of worldly attachments. Like this morning, Stalin, right? So what was the need not to have an elaborate life, right? Elaborate life, then the work has to be elaborate also. Right? I can't just sell 20 loaves of bread to make a living, although it will be enough for me, but now I need to have an elaborate lifestyle. So I will sell at least 10,000 bread every day. Then I can then do Umrah, I can do this, I can do that, I can do that, right? But now you don't have an elaborate lifestyle. 20, 30 loaves I sold, enough for the day, carry on tomorrow's another day. I've got enough time for Allah Ta'ala, for my reformation, for my deeni correction I've got. But I've got a too elaborate life, then you have to work to sustain the lifestyle. So you don't get enough time for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is this reason, right? That we don't despise these people here, right? And number two is then, we also look within us that they are still far from the right. Not that we imitate them, we think to ourselves, oh, we are quite far. We still need to work, to join up with this line here, we still need to work. We're not near them anyway. So we don't become boastful, we don't become arrogant with the little that we are doing. If you know, there's much to be covered, but I know that's the line. These are the leaders, and Allah Ta'ala willing, with time, inshallah, we'll join up with them. We've got a liking for them, we're trying to be like them, and we understand them to be our imams, but just that we have got a limitation. We can't manage living that type of life. Allah Ta'ala.